Good morning, good morning, good morning, and thank you for joining me on another episode of the Roundtable Talk Show. I am your host, Sharifa Hardy, and we have quite a few guests here today because this is the last show before the holiday. We will return on Monday with some amazing guests, but we're going to go ahead and show you who we have here today. Before I do that, I'm going to ask you to do what I always ask you to do, and that is to go out and be an evangelist for the Roundtable Talk Show, especially today, because your friends, your network, your family won't be able to tune into the show until next week. So grab them, share the show, let them know we are live with our new guest. So while you're sharing the show, I'm going to go ahead and introduce my first guest. And this young lady, you may recognize her name, you may recognize her face. She has been a guest on the Roundtable Talk Show before, a couple of times. You will also see her as a presenter at the New Year, New You 2-day teleconference on December 29th and 30th. This young lady is so amazing. So we're going to go ahead and introduce Ms. Vaishali Nakai. Vaishali is the go-to expert for entrepreneurs and business owners who would like to see through the future because in today's times, most are confused, panicked, and unsure. As a business psychic, she shows them how the outcome of different decisions will unfold in the future. Bottom line, you get to peek in the future by being in the present time. Good morning, Vaishali. How are you?
Good morning, Sharifa. I am excited to be here. This is my third time. Third time is a charm.
Yes. I mean, the other times were charming as well, but we're glad to have you back.
Thank you so much. I'm excited.
You are so welcome. Tell us a little bit about yourself. Who are you, Vaishali, and what do you do?
So I am a business psychic. And like you mentioned, I actually can time travel in the future and kind of take a sneak peek at what's going to happen. And a lot of entrepreneurs, they use that, use my help to kind of make decisions as to what strategies will work, what strategies won't, so that they can get to their goals closer or faster rather than spending their time and money on things that don't work.
Right. So for people who want to know how a business psychic works, I mean, usually when we think of psychics, I personally, for what I've heard, they're, you know, people want to know about their relationships. People want to know about other areas. Typically, it's been my experience, they don't go to a psychic for their business, correct?
That is so true, because when I first got started, I started with reading people for relationships and career. Mm-hmm. And when people started seeing the results come true, that's when, you know, my own clients, they started switching their questions to more mm-hmm. business-y questions. And that's how I transitioned to becoming a business psychic. Because lots and lots of predictions started playing out. And I was testing everything scientifically. You know, I came from a scientific background. So I was an engineer and I was designing computer chips. So my brain was very scientifically wired. I guess it still is, but it just needs a little refresher. But yeah, so now that I work more with business owners and entrepreneurs, it's a little bit more fun and more challenging to see how things will pan out in the future. And we can use it to leverage things for ourselves.
What is the typical question a business owner might ask you?
So the most common question I get from a business owner is regarding their income or strategies for their income. Recently, I just read someone and the pandemic has hit everyone in a different way. Like everybody's life has been affected one way or the other. And in her case, her income was a complete roller coaster. In one month, she's making like 3,000-4,000. In another month, she's making like 11,000-15,000. So that's a pretty broad range of income to make. So essentially she was trying to figure out, you know, what strategies are going to help her get at least a more stable income or at least a consistent income of some sort of round number like 10K or 15K, whatever. So that really is the main question which most people have, which is related to their income. And then all other questions are derivatives of that.
Okay, well, what we're going to do, I'm going to come back to you. I'm going to introduce my next guest. But if you get any hits or anything comes to you, please feel free to let us know, okay?
Thank you.
You're welcome. Now, our next guest also has her own interesting story, Miss Edith B. Kiss. Edith B. Kiss is a powerful spiritual healer, life coach, number one best-selling author, writer, and international speaker. She helps people to get clean from blockages, healing them from hidden emotional traumas through the use of source memory healing, karma healing, Reiki, and segment healing. Good morning, Edith. How are you?
Hi, good morning, everyone. It's my pleasure to be here, Sharifa. Thank you for inviting. Yeah, there are so many things I do, yes. But I love the spiritual part, obviously, to help people. So Edith actually means joy. So my mission is to bring joy and happiness to people's lives. And then most of the mental and physical illnesses depends on our emotional traumas, which is buried in our unconscious mind. And many people doesn't even know about it, but they get triggered every day. And then the triggers eventually become illnesses. So if we clear out the emotional traumas from the unconscious mind, the triggers can stop, and then they can actually have a much better life and much happier life. And I also use other techniques to prevent to actually have other emotional traumas, because that's coming from how they react for their environment. And through samadhi meditation, you can actually have a better mindfulness and be more conscious about your thoughts and actions and reactions.
How did you find out about this? How did you become interested in it?
So, wow. I am coming from a communist background, my country where I grew up, and I haven't been in around religion as a child. So when I was in my teenage age, I started to read books about Buddhism, Taoism, like all kinds of religions, and figure out what's going on actually. And then I was drawn towards mythologies, mysticism, you know, like Egyptian mythology and all kinds of things. And then I love traveling. So I took all the opportunities to travel. I traveled to be an au pair or an internship, so all around the world, but I was traveling always around and alone. And then I experienced panic attacks in one of the occasion, and it was very hard to get over it, to heal it, you know. And that's why I first went to a Reiki master to help me to heal panic attacks. But it was only way of managing it. It wasn't a real cure, you know. So, but that's the way how I get into spirituality. I learned Reiki. And then I started to use Reiki in my family, with friends, you know, for a long time. And I was also an engineer parallel, so working as a petroleum engineer. And then in my hobby time, I was doing like extrasense retreats and family constellation therapies and all of those things. And then eventually I gave up. I was overwhelmed in my job. I had two children. I wanted to spend more time with them. I like lived an unhealthy lifestyle. I ate, you know, not healthy food. I was overweight, all of these things. And then I just said, okay, let's give up. I quit my job. I was in a very good position, and I quit my job. And then we moved to New Zealand with my children, with everyone, four suitcases. And we spent there like 7 months, and I call it like a family retreat, because eventually I had time with my children. I was also healing myself tremendously, because I was a Reiki master that time already. And as the results of my healing, I got a reprogramming in my brain, which allowed me to stop eating certain food. And I started to lose weight. So I dropped like 20 kilos in 10 months. And then we returned back from New Zealand, and I was working as a contractor from there. And it was like a much, much different lifestyle. I spent lots of time with my kids. I was still doing engineering job, but whenever, wherever I wanted, you know, I even made more money. So it was like, you know, as soon as you give up everything, as soon as you let go everything, the universe will bring you something better.
I definitely agree. Everything changes. Everything.
Mm-hmm. And then eventually I got introduced to karma healing, and that accidentally I was invited for a course to translate actually from English to Hungarian for a guru. And that was the first time I experienced the samadhi meditation. And then I was that point, when I was activating my pineal gland, I got into the karma vortex. And from there, like all the messaging started to appear, all my past and, you know, my past lives, everything was like evolving, you know, all the dimensions. And it was so clear, my mission, like what I want to do, what I have to do.
That's to help people. We definitely want to help people. I'm going to come back to you. I want to go ahead and introduce our next guest, Ms. Swetha Tota. Swetha is a full-time engineer working at Intel and a part-time mom blogger on Instagram. You can follow her at the_swanky_mommy. She is a mom of two beautiful kids currently hustling through parenthood and work life. More than happy to share her views on health, wellness, and work-life balance. Good morning, Swetha. How are you?
Hey, good morning, Sharifa. Good morning, everybody. It was a lovely panel and good introductions from Vaishali and Edit. It was lovely hearing you both.
You're a mom blogger.
Yeah, I fall into a similar category. So yes, I am a mom of two kids and I am a full-time engineer. I work as a hardware quality engineer at Intel. And it's been 10 years since I joined and I have a 6-year-old and a 3-year-old, tiny kids. And during this hustle of, you know, getting through work from 9 to 5, post that, I needed some creative outlet wherein, you know, I could share some of my views on motherhood and beyond. So that's how I started this Instagram blog where I share everything, you know, right, related to motherhood and beyond, and keeping it real, keeping it, you know, no whitewashed images, sharing the true experiences. And you know, putting my life stories out there, you know, that actually strike a chord with a lot of fellow bloggers. And that's where I could make some really genuine connections with people and, you know, who could actually relate to my content. That's basically my journey, which I share there. And it's like a stress relief for me that channel which I've created has been really helping me to find something out of my 9-to-5 stressful job. But that's my passion. My job is my passion and I'm going to stick to that. And my blog has been my creative outlet where I love meeting people. I love when people approach me asking for suggestions or, you know, asking for help. Or at least one message saying that, hey, Swetha, you know what you shared today has been really helped me make a decision or really helped me change my opinion. So that actually pays off your time that you're spending here. So yeah, that's my journey there as a blogger. But more than motherhood, it's about parenthood because my husband equally contributes in everything and he completely supports me throughout this journey. So it's just both of us sharing our small family life story on my blog.
I think that's powerful. I'm over here trying to figure out, like, is this the engineer show? I don't know how or why, but it's like somehow there's like some common theme and it's like I'm an engineer. I feel bad I'm not an engineer now. Like this is a great conversation. Now, Swetha, what made you decide that blogging was your outlet as opposed to, you know, there are so many YouTube videos and webinars? Why a blog?
Right. So basically, this all started with a very small, tiny videos. I used to make some really fun short videos of my son capturing his monthly milestones. That was after my son was born, after he was like 3-4 months, I'm like, okay, I need to do something. I mean, even for my daughters, it's a common thing, right? We capture this monthly pictures of babies capturing all their milestones and uploading and all. Eventually, this Instagram blog, which I started, it started after my son was born. After a couple of months, I started posting some short, tiny videos of his monthly milestones. And then eventually I started, you know, posting pictures of the real life out there, you know, sharing my real stories, sharing my journey as a, you know, my postpartum story. I shared my postpartum story of both the kids. That's where, you know, most of them could really relate to, then I'm like, as and step by step, as I was posting, it just started as a casual, simple page, which eventually grew. Trust me, I all these terms of social media blogging or whatever you call these days, influencers or whatnot, I didn't start with that intention at all. It was just like a small page for me, but it eventually grew all over the time as people could connect, as I was making some genuine connections. It grew, my interest grew. So it was in a both give and take way. I was presenting my experiences, people were reacting to that way. Yes. So in a way, it was a quite positive experience for me. And mm-hmm. I thought, okay, this is something that's growing and I should be paying much attention to, you know, to this. And that is helping me in a way too.
That is wonderful. That's how you get your message out. And some of the largest things, greatest trees, you know, strongest missions start out with those first steps. I'm going to come back to you. I want to go ahead and introduce our next guest, Mr. Shay Duran. Shay is an award-winning world explorer. His journey has enabled him to learn from the greatest minds on this planet. From living with humble monks in the high Tibetan plateau and tribal communities in remote parts of Namibia, to learning from leaders of the E7 and completing global expeditions. Good morning, Shay. How are you?
Good morning. I'm very well. Thank you. It's actually afternoon. So good morning, good afternoon to wherever you are in the world.
Are you an engineer, Shay?
I'm not an engineer. I think I'm the first one. I'm not an engineer.
I was just wondering. You know, I read your bio. I was like, I have to ask this question. And no other time in history would this question be so appropriate. But what does a world traveler do during a global pandemic?
Continues to find a way to travel the world. Yeah. Hopping from country to country based on where I'm allowed in. Mm-hmm. It's worked so far. And also, you know, some countries, even if the lockdown has happened, have been pretty lenient with the people that have been in that country at that particular time. If you're not on a set flight back home, it's been okay. You know, there hasn't been any major problems. I haven't experienced many major problems.
Mm-hmm. So what made you decide to just be a world explorer?
So my life before exploring the world was totally different. I had a successful 11-year career in banking. That was probably what made me decide. That was enough. Things went really well from when I was young, starting the bank at 16 and worked my way up. But just knew that I had always had this burning desire to go and travel and explore and see the world. And when I was younger, when I was a kid, I'm half Irish and my granddad's brothers and sisters in Ireland were missionaries. So I heard all of these stories of them in countries all around the world, you know, Nigeria, the Philippines, India, Burma, Tahiti. And I was too young to understand what they were doing as missionaries, but just hearing all of these adventures and stories of faraway places, I think that was the thing that inspired the fire in me to want to go and see the world. And after banking and then had a big change in my life, it felt like the right time. It was the kickstart that I needed to get out into the world.
Mm-hmm. So were you one of those people that, because there are two types of people, at least in my experience, so let me know. There's the group of people who buy that plane ticket, arrange all the stays and decide what they're going to do. And then there's the other person, which I kind of feel that you are, who just grabs the backpack, picks it up and just heads out. So which one are you?
The second one, 100%. I have my backpack is my house. I'm a snail, basically. I've got my shell on my back. And if you see me, you can't miss me. You know, you see the 6'7" guy walking down the street with usually a backpack on my back, one on the front, and maybe a couple of bags in my hand. So that's generally how you see me walking around. So I'm definitely, I like to have a few things planned, as in I like to know which country I'm going to and have a reason to want to go there and what I want to see. But I'll kind of leave it at that and let the rest happen whilst I'm there.
Do you gotta let your hair down? That's the more, you know what I mean? Like, just get out, have some fun. I love it, Shay. I'm gonna come back to you. I wanna go ahead and introduce our next guest. And our next guest is Miss Julia Spahu. Julia is the founder and CFO of Ede and Sienna Group. She works with her clients to provide customized outsourced bookkeeping, outsourced controller, and outsourced CFO services to businesses across the United States and in every industry. She has the flexibility for businesses to completely outsource their bookkeeping, controller, or CFO function, which can provide services on an interim, part-time, or as-needed basis. Good morning, Julia. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm fine. I love that backdrop. You know,
just, thank you. Yeah. So I'm peaceful. Not too far from it, but not real.
Now, you know, I love my show. I love what I do. I love having the freedom to have a platform to say whatever I want. And so often I judge people. You know, I look at them and I go, now I look at you and I'm like, you don't look like the typical CFO.
I probably am not. I would say the CFO services that I provide would probably be something more of on a day-to-day basis business owners want. It's probably the mid-sized to smaller businesses that I help with, you know, to get them into growth. I've helped a few businesses in my career be able to grow from one small location to multiple locations throughout the United States, and some of them are in Canada as well now. So it's really just, my job is to understand their goals and be able to, you know, kind of hold their hands on a day-to-day basis. It's not just like, okay, you know, I did your books, you know, go on, do your thing and things like that. It's really, you know, my clientele is clients who I am working with very often. And, you know, we speak, you know, 24/7.
Yes. Yeah. So what got you, because I'm hearing Shay's like, you know what, I was in the banking business. Yeah. I had to get out of there. He was ready to go. So for you, what interests you about bookkeeping and the numbers?
So I was actually a corporate VP up until a year ago for a big corporation in New York City. I had kids too. With my first one, it wasn't so bad. I was taking him to daycare in the city. We were going back and forth. But then when I had my daughter, it became tough. Traveling, you know, 2 hours a day plus work and then coming home, it was just getting really tough. So I had to make the decision of quitting my job, which was really tough having a career and everything. But I was like, okay, I'm going to be a stay-at-home mom. And then a couple months after, I was like, I cannot just be a stay-at-home mom. I love to work. And the company that I was with prior, they offered to freelance me, to continue doing most of the things that I was doing, but just on a freelance basis. And then I was like, okay, I have a little bit more time. So I just kept building. And now I created AD and Sienna Group, which is named after my kids, because I think I am doing this because of my kids. Like, I don't think I would have been able to be pushed to go on my own if it wasn't for my kids. So now I have clients all over the US who need bookkeeping and tax help. You know, some of them, you know, come and say, oh, I need my sales tax or my tax returns. But then when we go in, or like with PPP, especially now that there's a second round coming too, that they need help with the applications, but then, you know, their books are not in order. So like, we have to go back to the whole book thing. And I love to help them to get an understanding of, you know, where their business stands and, you know, what to look for. And it's not just, you know, taxes, you know, there's a lot more that goes into it.
There's a lot that goes into being a small business and trying to figure out everything by yourself. And I believe that's where a lot of small businesses or entrepreneurs get in trouble, because they try to handle everything by themselves and they need to have a team. So having you as part of the team, I believe, is excellent. So what is, I know you said small to medium-sized business, but what is your ideal client? And you said no specific industry, but.
So ideally, I would say salon and construction industries are my go-to. And I would say that I've, you know, I'm highly experienced in it. I've worked with on, you know, every day for the last 10 to 15 years. So I would say, you know, that is like, I know it in the back of my head. But I do have a few of IT companies that I have been working with. It's been very fun to work with. It's a completely different industry from construction and salon world.
Yes, yes. So I'm going to come back to you. I want to go ahead and introduce our next guest. And our next guest is Brother Michael Muhammad. Mr. Muhammad was born in the Washington, D.C. and raised in the D.C. metropolitan area. He is a self-taught bass guitarist, producer, lyricist. Michael's upbringing led him to an early use of marijuana, which eventually ended up in 14 years of drug abuse that literally was costing him his life. Good morning, Brother Michael. How are you?
I'm doing great. How you doing this morning?
I am excellent. I'm excited to have you here. Tell us a little bit about yourself. Who are you and what do you do?
Okay. Michael Muhammad again. And right now, currently, I'm the owner of Paradise Desserts, LLC, which is the home of Paradise Bean Pie, Taste of Heaven on Earth. That's a shameless plug.
I like it. I like shameless plugs. That's what we do here.
And I'm also currently business partners with a sister here in Chicago. I'm actually in Chicago now. We have the Foodie Spot, which is at 7350 South Stony Island Avenue, where we offer the community more than the fast food. You know what I'm saying? We do some like lemon pepper dill salmon, pineapple jerk chickens, broccoli burgers, mac and cheese. So yeah, so basically we are in the community offering something better, something good. And more recently, I've pretty much finally gotten this book out of me that I thought of 10 years ago to write, but I just wasn't ready to write it. And so Walking the Road to Recovery, 9 Steps in Motion, which pretty much documents the steps that I was blessed to take, you know, to come up out of that condition of drug addiction. And I'm 28 years by the grace of God on the other side of that. So, and I'm excited, man. Everybody's introduction got me so full and lit. I'm like, wow, you know what I'm saying? I'm learning a lot. And so, but that's me. And that's, you know, that's where I am. My book is, the ebook is actually ready now at Amazon.com, Walking the Road to Recovery, 9 Steps in Motion, Michael Muhammad, the author, and waiting on the paperback is in review. So that's where I am right now. And here we go.
Interesting. I love your animation. Like you were feeling that food. I never even heard of some of the things I heard mac and cheese, but there was something with dill or something in there. And I was like, I don't know, but it looked like it was good. It sounded good, but all the animation and the movement you were doing.
Yes, yes, yes. And that's the thing, because I don't deal with the food side. I'm the dessert man. Mm-hmm. But I look at those dishes and I'm like, wow, I don't even have to talk about the dessert. I can talk about this food, you know. So, yeah.
I have to get you for my marketing because you're animated. Everything will sell off the shelves with you marketing it. What made you decide to write this book and publish this book?
Well, again, I always knew that my life experience could help others. You know, and I also knew that timing would be important. And I've told my story so many times because I believe that my life is to help others. So over time, I say, wow, I want to write a book. And that's 10 years ago. But more recently, back in September, because the restaurant we're renovating and trying to get certain things done or what have you. So we had a couple of people in there helping us clean. And the sister, you know, I knew she was struggling because we've talked before. And so she asked me a question like, how did you get rid of the craving? When you stopped using drugs, how did you get rid of the craving? And I knew at that point, because I couldn't play with her, you know what I mean? Because if she's asking me this question, then this is serious, you know? And so I began to start, you know, going through the steps with passion, like, and it was therapeutic. I'm like, wow, you know? And I knew then that it was time now to write the book because people are asking questions and I've been sharing the story all along, but it's just the timing is perfect for me.
I agree. I'm gonna come back to you. But Shali, we introduced everybody. Everybody's here. They gave our story, their background, how they wound up in their journey. Has anything come to you?
Yeah, I was going to say that Julia and Shay are more like financial engineers. They were playing with money before they became actually whatever they are today.
So So somehow, some way, we're going to get them in this engineer spirit.
Yeah. I guess so. But since you requested, I did a short little sneak peek for you, like what will happen to you, say, in the next week or so. And I saw a lot of money coming your way.
Oh, I like that.
So Julia has a lot of money coming her way?
It was for Sharifa. I did the reading for Sharifa.
I received it too.
I received that. Okay. That's good.
Yeah.
I will take, you have to
let me know, you know, what kind of money you get, because it almost showed me a bank. That's a lot of money.
Wow, I like that. That's good. I always say, you know what I mean? You got to do it all the way to the bank. That's my favorite expression. If you're not doing it, you're not doing it until you do it all the way to the bank. But Vishali, you know, Julia's over here. She's all nice and sweet and polite. She asked you politely. I don't know if you heard her, but she's like, do you see anything for me? So do you see anything for Julia?
I have to take a sneak peek once I'm off camera.
She wasn't prepared.
I have to look at it. I was looking at it a little bit when Michael was talking. So I have to look at it and see. But yeah, for you, I would love to see how it actually played out.
Okay, I'll let you know. We always talk. You said you were doing a sneak peek for Michael. What did you see for Michael?
Oh, no. When Michael was talking.
Oh, when Michael was talking.
For you. Mm-hmm.
Oh, that is beautiful. I love the sweet sneak peek. Where is who I want to speak to? I lost some people. I'm moving too fast today. Edit. We didn't introduce all the people. What came to you? Any thoughts?
Well, my thought was like, I would love to work with Michael because he's my ideal client. You know, I help mostly like men who's an entrepreneur having money and feeling the vibe, but still having issues from the past, like addictions or, you know, something to clear out. And yes, many people is getting into alcohol and addiction because their solar plexus chakra is blocked, you know, and they have like low self-esteem and low willpower. And it's going back to the healings, like to actually balance the energy field and clear out the blockages and chakras. And when they already have these emotional traumas, that's going back to the source memory healing, the karma healing, which I actually learned later on, and which actually helped me also with my panic illness. That was actually the solution, which I could heal my panic attacks with the source memory healing. And yeah, the samadhi meditation is just an amazing tool for everyone if you want to try, because it's activating the pineal gland. It also helps you to actually produce hormones, positive hormones, like an extra boost, not like at night when you sleep, because your brain getting into delta brain waves when you start to produce these melatonin, serotonin, oxytocin, you know, and the growth hormones. And then you don't spend enough time at night being in delta brain waves. So it's like an extra boost for your body to be in that delta brain waves and producing these hormones. And when you produce these hormones, then you are more likely to be positive, you're more likely to be kind and positive mindset. So it's easier to get into the negative cycle, because we are getting into a negative cycle by negative thinking, negative emotions, and we're blocking ourselves and we're still in the negative cycle. It's like a trap 22. And you need to realize that, and then you need to stop the cycle. But to be able to stop the cycle, you need to be positive. And this samadhi meditation is actually help you to be positive and bring that feelings into you naturally.
Yes, we have to bring them into you naturally, not with drugs. Brother Michael, Eddie was talking to you. What are your thoughts?
Well, you know, she just scientifically explained my whole journey. You know.
Will you explain it less scientifically? What resonated with you? Because what I heard, and I'm not an engineer, let me just state that for the record, is that there was some past trauma when you was young. You was like, let me pick up this marijuana. And from there, life went a different direction.
Well, you know, it. Of course, there's been a lot of trauma growing up in DC metro area, you know, just just that urban experience, you know, you face a lot of different things. You know, for us, hey, I was 10 years old. My cousin, he used to come over the weekends. So one weekend he came over and he said, "Look what I got." And we was like, "What's that?" He was 9, I was 10, my brother was 11, you know. He said, "I don't know, but Daddy be rolling it up and smoking it." And that's how that journey began, right? But what I hear, you know, I've learned over time, the mind is where all the power is, you know what I mean? And the thinking is what produces the action. The action is what shapes the habit, and the habit is what shapes the character, you know? And so by understanding that the two natures, this physical aspect and this spiritual aspect, just knowing that they're both there, you know what I'm saying? It gives a more clear understanding of what I'm dealing with, you know, mm-hmm. mind over matter, things of that nature, you know?
Yes, absolutely. Shay, you've been on this spiritual journey. You have visited some of the most spiritual some places that I would love to go on your spiritual journey. What are your thoughts on what Edith had to say in the mind?
Yeah, it's true. I think there's this in today's society, we're constantly, I think messages are constantly pushed around us, onto us, about you have to be positive, be happy thinking, you know, positivity. And so I think having some of the channels that Edit mentioned to be able to explore that, because we can't just read these messages and expect to all of a sudden have a positive mindset. You know, we have to find a channel that works for us to be able to do that. And it may be a changing up your morning routine, it may be yoga, it may be becoming a Reiki master. There's so many different channels to be able to find your way to go on that journey and becoming positive. But for me, I think what I have definitely learned on this journey, and is what I teach in my business now, is about balance. You know, that we can't fall into this trap of just viewing life as all roses and everything being positive and happy all the time, because it's not. And life wouldn't work out that way for us, because it's off balance. If everything was happy and positive, it's too far the other way. And so it's about balancing these times of struggle in our lives, or the challenging periods, and also appreciating it, you know, seeing we learn and grow so much from those times. And so I think for me, it's making sure we're not in this space of overinflating our egos, you know, thinking that we're better than, or that if life is going happy or positive for us all of a sudden, that we've achieved this great thing, and we start therefore putting other people below us, because that is too far off balance. And equally, it's not about shrinking ourselves, you know, not about looking and comparing ourselves and thinking we're worse than, or this person is better than. It's about appreciating that everybody has different skills, but equally everybody is able, and the balance is the thing, not being too positive all of the time, not being too negative all of the time.
I think that was powerful.
Oh, yeah.
I want to go over to Swetha. Listen to what Shay had to say. One of the things that you mentioned was that in your blog, you basically told the good, the bad, and the ugly. You shared your experiences. You shared your journey. That had to be very scary, for lack of a better word, for you. How were you able to do that?
So, all the experiences that you guys shared here are so relatable. Trust me, each and every speaker, I was listening to each and every one of you, and each of the words that you said was striking a chord with me, or, you know, connecting the dots that, hey, you know what, I've been there. I've been through the struggles. This year has been so tough for so many of us. Like, there are, my father passed away like in August, and I had my ankle broken. You know, I'm just on bed rest right now. So there's so much of negativity going on right now in my life but it's not like, you know, you don't sit there and keep sulking. I need to get out of myself. I need to get out of the trauma. I need to get out and, you know, be there. Like I said, like Shay was saying, right? Positivity, it's not like you just say it and it comes on to you. No, it's that's something that you have to inculcate over time, and you have to work towards it. It's not like a switch button. So that's what I've been trying myself to, you know, to get out of that whole negativity and the trauma that I've been through this year. And each one of us has been through this year. It hasn't been easy for anybody of us. So one of, you know, some of these experiences, you know, my kids have been a very good motivator for me. They've been like such a good distraction for me. And some of the, you know, all the help that I've been getting from my husband, from my relatives, from my friends have been like, it's very uplifting. For that, communication is the most important. You need to let that feelings out. Don't keep it sulking. Don't keep it within you. You'll, I've experienced similar things even postpartum with my first kid. I had a postpartum depression. I went to a depression and, you know, I had some medical complications and I couldn't return to work. So that has been like a very negative phase in my life. But how I came out of it is through socializing, is through communicating. I'm not going to be in that cave. I'm not going to, you know, allow myself sulking into that, or, you know, I need to come out of it. And that was through socializing, through expressing my feelings out there, you know, yes. talking to people out there, you know, it's very dangerous. Trust me, any kind of depression, anything is like very dangerous for you if you don't let it out of your system.
Yes, you have to let it out of your system.
It sometimes gets too stressful there as well. Yes. Deadlines, you know, you tend to go crazy. There is a lot of work. There are deadlines and, you know, your kids get sick. I'm sure every mom out here, everybody can relate. Your kids get sick. You're like sitting in a tight deadlines. You're stressed.
Yes, life happens. But and you
life
still have
happens.
To
you be, we have to deal with it, but deal it in a maybe a better manner. Like, you know, set your limitations.
Yes, or meditation. I mean, there are a lot of different ways to deal with it. We just have to find some of those ways. Julia, how do you deal with it? How do you handle being a mom, being a business owner, you know, everything going on? How do you handle it?
Yeah, it's stressful, especially, you know, I work from home too. Mm-hmm. And both my kids are home. Mm-hmm. I do have a lot of help though. I live with my in-laws right now, so they help me a lot. You know, they watch them when I'm working, you know, my husband on the weekends too. My parents don't live really far from us, so I'm lucky that I have family around. Mm-hmm. But it's tough, especially my daughter is very like clingy. Like she's only 18 months old, so she's so attached to me. Even if, you know, she's upstairs with my in-laws, she wants to come down. So it gets a lot. It gets very stressful, and especially with COVID. But we deal with it every day. It sucks.
That sounds beautiful.
But we just, yeah.
You just got to do what you got to do.
Just take breaks.
Six more months.
Yeah. And so you said take breaks.
Yeah.
Take breaks.
I think that's powerful. Brother Michael, your book came out. You talk about the 9 steps. You learned a lot. You have a lot of information in your mind. I just wanted to ask, did you see the interview or the news articles with DMX when he shared his story on how he got started on drugs?
Yeah. Well, I didn't see the whole interview. I saw pieces of it, but I heard about it and it was pretty powerful. He was very young and, somebody slipped something to him or something of that nature. I do recall hearing about that aspect of it.
Yes, he kind of gave to a certain extent something typical, you know, that you were sharing, that he took someone that he respected, a mentor of his, offered him a laced blunt, and he had, you know, he's 14 years old, had absolutely no idea what was in it, and that changed the course and the trajectory of his life. Now you talk about 3 kids, 9, 10, and 11, found this bag of marijuana. So was that a gateway for you, or how did that experience take you into harder drugs?
Oh, wow. Well, see, and be, you know, being young and being at that age, logic is like nowhere. There's no logic there in the mind. So it was more like, you know, we thought we were having fun. You know what I mean? We knew we were doing something wrong, but we thought we were having fun. We didn't even know what we're doing until one of the brothers in the neighborhood who was 12, he came and said, no, y'all doing that all wrong. Because he had come up in Northeast DC, where, and he lived, like he literally walked out his door and there's a drug strip right there. And so he taught us how to, no, you, this is how you hit it. This how, but the bottom line is we thought we were having fun. Mm-hmm. And just over time, you know, one thing leads to the other, because, you know, you get burnt out. Hey, I need something else. And then, you know, that's not getting me where I need to be. I need something else. So it's just a vicious cycle that you're going, it's, if you don't catch it at the right time, you're going to go deeper and deeper and deeper into, you know, and that's pretty much what my situation was.
So how did you stop? How did you turn it around?
Wow. Okay. How did I stop? That, it's what I call that rock bottom situation, you know, and just to go through it, I spent the whole night out on my mission. You know, I stole from people who meant so much to me, you know what I'm saying? And then by the time that morning came, I felt so, I couldn't even look myself in the mirror. You know what I'm saying? Like, I hated what I saw. So it was that moment, you know, that I said, you know what? I need some help. You know what I mean? And so, the second step in my book is find the love. First step is make the decision, find the love. So the first thing I did at that point was I called my mother. And I said, I'm killing myself and I don't even give a damn. I need some help. You know what I'm saying? And that's where the switch began. You know what I'm saying? That's where the change began, you know? And then it was a process after, you know, and so finding the love, my aunt, she had gone through something similar. So I talked to her. People that didn't even know, you know what I'm saying? They may have had an idea, but they didn't know, really, no, you know what I'm saying? So start reaching out to people like that. And then her late husband, Paul, this was key. He called me and he said, I want you to read Romans 7. And then I want us to talk about it. Tell me what you saw. Tell me what you see. You know what I'm saying? And that was the first time that somebody did that. First of all, you're going to talk to me about scripture and help me understand it where my current situation is concerned, right? That was key. And then what Paul talked about, like when I would do good, evil is present. So I find myself warring within my members, you know? And so that's where that first understanding of the difference between flesh and spirit came clear to me. And the war that was actually taking place. I'm in a battle with this flesh, which is nothing but a series of urges and appetites. You know what I'm saying? I want what I want and I want it now. That's what this is. But then the power over it is what's in. So that's, I've nurtured this, but I haven't nurtured this.
That's powerful.
And that was the switch. That was the switch.
I see it, Shay. I see the whole time Brother Michael is speaking, you nodding your head, you kind of encouraging. What are some of your thoughts about what Michael had to say?
It's so true about being able to detach getting to the point of detaching the chemicals that almost that you have within your body, right? That you're triggering through these cravings. And there's so many, it can apply to so many different situations, but trying to get to yourself to the point where you reach that depth of your soul, because I believe it's your soul that you're able to tap into. And you're then at that point able to step back and separate those things that for so long have been all as one, you know, and that you felt were just who Brother Michael was as a person. And actually now it's like, no, this is who I am as a person, and this happens to be one thought that's going on. And it is just so applicable to so many challenges that we face in life. And I go back to that example of a lot of the time we look at other people and compare our own lives, you know, and we feel bad and shame ourselves and feel guilty. And we just see this again, that example of everything all as one, that this is our life and it's not what we want it to be. But no, that's actually just one thought of thousands and thousands of thoughts that we have every single day. And getting yourself to the point where you're able to detach those thoughts, they're not actually you. Your thoughts are not you. You know, it's one part, it's one aspect. It's one aspect of you. And I just think it also linked in really nicely with Sweater's point around communication. When Brother Michael hit that low, communication and opening up was the next step. You know, as Sweater mentioned around getting to that point of depression, communication and talking to people. And also that's, I can relate to it when my dad passed away as well. The communication was the thing that got me through that period. Yeah, you can't, there's one quote that I absolutely love that I always have in my mind is that happiness is a shared experience. Happiness is something shared.
I love that. I'm so glad that all of you have shared your experiences, your stories, your background here with us today on the Roundtable Talk Show. Now we are coming down to the last few minutes of the show. We only have a few minutes, but what I love to do at the end of every show is just simply allow my guests the opportunity to speak directly to the audience, to everyone who is watching the show live, as well as everyone who is watching it in the archives, and let them know what you want them to take away from your appearance here today. And we're going to start with you, Swetha.
Hey, so my advice to all the parents, not only moms, because it's equally to dads as well, stop being guilty. You know, you don't have to carry that guilt load of not being there for, you know, for your kids or for your work. First of all, yeah, get that off your mind and take breaks, because your mental health is more important. And basically spend time with your loved ones. And, you know, you should know basically where to draw that line between your work life and your personal life. So don't let each of it, you know, just slide into each other. So that's basically what I share on my blog as well, each and every incident or each and every experiences that, you know, what I do and how I am handling pandemic, how I and my husband are together handling the pandemic situation of working together and working from home. And I have a couple of my articles published on Thrive and a couple of Indian business sites as well. So you can find all the information on my blog, The Swanky Mommy. So that basically reflects my personality. So that's the name.
Yes.
And thanks for having me.
You are so welcome. Thank you for joining us, Miss Julia.
Yeah. Swetha said about parenthood, I would say, you know, it sucks right now, but you're not alone. You know, ask for help, ask a friend, your family, you know, even your kids, you know, they're little, but, you know, I think they understand, or like, you know, when you need a timeout, just like they do, it's just, you know, they get it. It's just, it's tough. It's tough for everyone. And the one thing that I have family all over the world, it's been good to know that, you know, we're not alone. It's not just us. It's not just America. It's the entire world. So in a way, even though, you know, it's something that, you know, it's not to be proud of, but it's just, it's good to know that, you know, it's not just us. Mm-hmm. And then as business owners, I would say the same thing too, you know, don't feel like, you know, just because this is happening, or, oh, my government shut me down, or what it is, that, you know, there is no help. There is help. There's a lot of help. You've just got to look for it. I recommend joining community groups, you know, asking your accountants, your, you know, if you have an attorney, you know, and it's just a consultation. It won't cost you anything, but you'll be surprised of the help you'll get. Don't hesitate to reach out to me on my website as well at eddieandsiennagroup.com. You know, especially with all the new changes that are coming in, there's a lot of band-aids coming in.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Well, thank you. Thank you, Miss Edit.
Yeah, so I wanted to add into Michael's monologue when he was saying about that addiction is a negative habit. So the parents has the responsibility, a huge responsibility on like the children's habits, and then of course our environment. And the habits are in our subconscious mind. There is the mind, like the conscious mind, the subconscious mind, and the unconscious. The subconscious is like the biggest part. And habits are there, and there are negative and positive habits. So actually, I was called habits expert this year by the Thrive Global, because I became a number one bestseller author, being a contributor in the One Habit book for entrepreneurial success. So we are more people in this book, so like 150 contributors. So this book also helps you to actually how to get rid of bad habits and how to implement good habits. And this also includes 150 people's positive and negative habits, what they implemented and what they get rid of. So how they work through and what they recommend actually, how to work through to be successful, to be happy, you know, to have a more, a better life, obviously. So I would suggest to people to actually sit down and think about their habits, the negative and positive. So the positive habits is which actually supporting their and the environment's well-being, and the negative habits is which actually destroying the environment and their own and family's well-being. And that's, if they do it like end of the year, you know, like a conclusion, and then they start freshly the next year, like, okay, I'm gonna get rid of this and I'm gonna implement this. But, you know, by baby steps, we don't need to do it like all of them at a time, just small, one by one. And this book actually helps you how to do it. So
I love it. I love it. Thank you. Thank you. Shay, what do you have for us?
Okay. Three things. Yeah. As people have mentioned, just find the time over the next week or so until we get into the new year to just take some time for yourself and reflect, think about what's worked well this year, what hasn't worked as well, and what you want to take forward into next year. That's the first thing. The second thing I would say is, remain humble. No matter how bad your situation is, there's people that are worse off. So when you're walking out in the streets or getting the last minute Christmas presents or whatever it may be, if you see somebody there that doesn't have food, that doesn't have a roof over their head, just at the very least, if it's not food or drink, just sit down with them and spend a bit of time, you know, just give them time. That can equally be a great thing to do. And then the third thing is, for your goals for 2021, as has been mentioned, particularly Julia mentioned, don't go at it alone. You don't need to go at it alone. There's only so much that we can do on our own before we hit a cap and we hit a limit. And it's not possible for us to go any further until we take in more information from other people. So yeah, if the bits that I've mentioned around taking the pressure off of yourself and getting to the point of more clarity is of interest, the website shay-doran.com. And probably the best thing I would say to do is just head to listen to some of the podcast episodes that will give you the steps on how to do that.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you. Brother Michael.
Yes, yes, yes. I want to first thank you for allowing me to be on your platform. And then I also want to thank my wife and my daughter, Nanika and Tasneem, for putting up with my entrepreneurial pursuits. And then I want to ask everybody listening to go and purchase my book, Walking the Road to Recovery, Nine Steps in Motion on Amazon. And also go to paradisedessert.com and get you a taste of heaven on earth. And I want to say one more thing. The late, great Milton D. Muhammad will always say to me, every answer to your prayers come through people, places, and things. And time and condition will determine how soon you receive.
Those are powerful words to end a show. But Shali, what do you think of today's show?
I loved what Michael said at the end. I was still processing it. I think it was a great, great show. What I would like to say is one of the ways people can get rid of depression or negativity is doing meditations, because I do like two meditations a day. And there have been times when I have done three of them, but it's usually when I'm chasing a goal, but because they work. And then the other thing is just adding to what everyone else said is connecting with the networks or connecting with people. There's two ways to look at the pandemic. You know, the glass is half empty and half full, but if you look at it the other way, because of the pandemic, it has brought the world a lot closer together. And everyone is just like a Zoom call or Zoom meeting away. It's never been so easier. So all you have to do is send someone a message and hop on with them on Zoom. And I have expanded my network a whole lot just by doing that. And Michael said, you know, a lot of the answers can be found from people. And, you know, the worst someone can do is say no. So all you have to do is reach out and ask for help. And I would love to plug in my podcast. I have a podcast. It's called The Uncanny Link, where physics meets metaphysics. I would love for you to take a listen and drop a review if you like it.
have to check it out again, because I checked it out initially prior to your first appearance. So I have to see your progress, what you have going on. And again, for anyone who is interested in working with Vishali, she will be at our New Year, New You 2-day teleconference on December 29th and 30th. You can pick up your tickets. I want to thank everyone, all our guests, for being here today on today's episode of the Roundtable Talk Show. And I especially want to thank everyone who tuned in to watch the show live, as well as everyone who is watching it in the archives. Just because you didn't catch the live show does not mean you're not important. And it doesn't mean we don't still need your support, because we do. Please go ahead and share the show. Now, don't just share the show. Don't just watch the show. Please support our guests. Pick up a copy of their book, visit their website, have a session with them, find out how they can help you and your business. And you can do that on my website, or if you're interested in being a guest, you can do that as well on my website at asksharifah.com. Until Monday morning, everyone have a safe and a happy holiday. Bye now.
Bye.
Bye. Merry Christmas.